I want to finish what we started last week because I feel like it's important. The cave experience. This is our seventh in our series on David that we began last year. But we've woven into it several other things, including a series on Joseph. The life of David and the life of Joseph are, as far as I'm concerned, extremely important. They're enlightening. And I believe every Christian ought to spend a great deal of their time studying those two lives, especially. It'll give you great insight into the power of God, but it will give you great insight on how to overcome. One of the great things about David's life was how he handled and reacted in times of adversity. How he handled the hard places of life. But then that was also true of Joseph. Joseph was mistreated. Joseph was cast into prison. We all know the stories. But David's life was much the same. He was mistreated. Saul tried to kill him on a regular basis, throwing spears at him, all kinds of different things. Saul hated him, was fearful of him, but loved him at the same time. Very difficult life. How these two men handled those aspects tremendously enlighten on how we can overcome. So in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 through 4, we read that little bit. It says, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" That's one of the two times that I know of that David's mother is ever mentioned in the Bible. We don't know her name as such, but as far as I know, that's just two times that she's mentioned. So he left them, his mother and father, with the king of Moab, and they stayed there with him as long as David was in the stronghold. David had that ability to cry out to God, to touch God's heart. In Psalms chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, that was written while he was in the cave of Adullam, he says, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." There's those times when we're in the very depths. We feel overwhelmed. We know that adversity and hardship and trial is hard upon us. We're having to face things that we don't want to face. We're in places that we really don't want to be. We're in the darkness, the difficulty. And we cry out to God. David was there. Life was almost overwhelming. Most of the time, when we're in places like that, we're tempted to grumble and gripe and find out whose fault it is that I'm here. I'm facing this. If it wasn't for so-and-so, if it wasn't for this or that. And we forget that God's aware and God's in charge. When we're in that dark and dreary and dusty and depressing cave, we forget that God knows we're there and He's there with us. No matter what we're facing. And it's important how we start to face it. It's important what we do as we are facing that. And David is there. He's in one of those difficult places. He came to understand that God was in control of that. If we're not careful, we forget that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. And sometimes God leads us into those situations to teach us, to instruct us, to enlighten us. And it may be nothing more than for us to understand His care and how much He loves us and how we can depend on Him. We looked last week at the realities of the cave. There's a reality of sorrow. Sorrow is going to come our way. It's a part of life. David had been brought to the absolute bottom, as far down in life as you can go. He has lost everything. He was sleeping in the palace one night, and the next night he's in a cave. One night he's being loved by those around him in the palace, and the next night he's hated by those that loved him last night. And he's hurting, and he's broken, and he's defeated, and he's the crown prince. He's been anointed to be king, and he's sleeping in a cave. It's difficult sometimes for us to understand, but there is a sorrow that goes along with that. There's times that are designated, it almost seems like. We're going to go through some things. We're going to face some things. How are we going to face it? There's a reality of the suffering, because we tend to look back over our lives, things that have happened, and there's that reality of suffering that rises up in us. But it's in those times, if we'll pay attention, it's in those times of hardship that real growth takes place, where we can excel in God. We can go forward in Him. We can be built up in Him. Because God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll never take my hand off from you. I will guide you. I will direct you. If you'll just walk with me. And it's hard to understand where God leads us sometimes. But if we'll just stay true to Him, we'll understand it. And His will be done perfectly. He will form us. He will strengthen us. He will bless us. And He will bring us through it. It's during those times in the cave that if we're not careful, we will become bitter. But if we'll be careful to stay close to God, then we will grow and our hearts will even become more tender and understanding. We fear those times of the cave, and that's very natural. But they often precede the times of God's greatest blessings in our lives. We can look back at David when he was alone in the cave. That was a fearful time. But in reality, he learned so many things about God and God's care. We look at Jacob when he was alone in his tent. And all of a sudden, he's wrestling with an angel. Yes, he walked with a limp for the rest of his life, but his name got changed from usurper to child of God. How awesome. It went from Jacob to Israel. When Job was all alone, sitting on a pile of ash, and his friends came and surrounded him, and they all started telling him how he messed up. We fear those times. But it was in those times that God spoke to Job. God spoke to Elijah. God spoke to Jacob and David and Moses. And became very real. Psalms 46:1 was also written by David when he was in the cave of Adullam. And he said, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. How true that is. So that brings us to point two, and that's where we take up today, is the revelations of the cave. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, 1b through 4. And I will read those. When his brothers and his father's house heard about it, they went down. His brothers were making fun of him just a little while before. But now they're going down to see him. His brothers was accusing him just a little while before. But now they're going to see the king. All those who were in distress, all of those who were in debt and discontented, they were with David. They had gathered around him. They saw something in David. He became their commander. There was 400 of them. And David went from there to Mizpah and Moab and took care for his mom and his dad to be protected. So there's a revelation in David's call that we need to look at. As those crutches that David had leaned on for all these many years were taken away one by one. God was the one that was taking him away. It was at those times when David probably began to question God and God's promises. Here was all these promises that God had made long ago. And David was losing everything one crutch at a time. And when you really need crutches, it's hard to walk without them. And David was finding that he was having more and more difficulty in walking. But after a while, people began to show up at David's cave. First his family came, then the defeated came, then those that were in debt showed up. I mean, you throw a party when a bunch of broke people come. I'm sure David was really encouraged by the ones that God was sending to him. The defeated, those that were in debt, those that were discontented. You want a bunch of griping people around you, don't you, whenever you're down? When you start talking about how bad yours is, and then they chime up and say, "You think that's bad? Just listen to this." And David was surrounded by those kind of people. David's family came out of fear of Saul. The rest of them came because they hated Saul. They all cast their lot in with David. And God used this motley crew to become mighty men for David. Why? Because God still had a plan for his life. No matter where you find yourself, God still has a plan for you. Don't forget that. You feel all alone and you feel disheartened, but God still has a plan for you. Get in his flow. I don't know how God will do it, but somehow, while you are in your cave, God's going to come. He's going to show up where you are, and he's going to confirm his faithfulness and his promises to you. He will confirm it. God will use your cave as a banner to write his love over your life. When you're in that deep, dark moment, Elijah looked up, and here came ravens, birds, carrying food. And I remember when old brother Homer was teaching on this one time at a camp meeting in Forsyth, Georgia. And he broke all of us up. Because you'd have to know Brother Homer. At that time, he was the president of Southeastern University. And he was preaching on the ravens coming to see Elijah. And he says, God sent a tickling angel. Now, I didn't know that God had tickling angels until that day. That was just an enlightenment to me. God has tickling angels. And those birds, just as they were flying over, they had raided a picnic somewhere. And they got right over Elijah, and that tickling angel started tickling them, and they just let go of all the food they had, and it fell right down for Elijah. You're probably wondering, like me, did it really happen that way? I don't think so, but sounded good when Brother Homer did it. But God supplied. And Elijah knew where it was coming from. Moses had a burning bush. And it just burned. And it burned. But it never burned up. Jesus had an empty tomb. I don't know how God's going to prove to you his great love, but he will. He might send a tickling angel. I don't know. He might send a burning bush. I don't know. I don't think so, but maybe. I hope it's not an empty tomb. Or maybe you can have a glimpse into Jesus's empty tomb. But God will have a way of showing us that everything's okay. See, there's a revelation of David's character, point B. When his family and these malcontents of Israel showed up, it was probably at first adding to David's burdens. That was the last thing he needed. Where's the food coming from? Where's supplies coming from? These malcontents didn't have it. Psalm 57 was also written at that time when he was in the cave and expresses some thoughts. David writes, I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are like sharp swords. But suddenly, God began to move in David. If he was going to be king of Israel, this was a trial for him. How could he be king if he couldn't handle this? So David rose to the challenge. The truth of his character was revealed. And it was revealed in what he did and how he reacted during those times. He took measures to care for his elderly parents. And he rose up to be the leader of men who nobody else wanted. In other words, instead of breaking under the pressures of the moment, David's heart was revealed. And that leader rose up in him and challenged those men and led those men. But it took great pain and it took great problems to squeeze that leadership out of him. Just like it did in David's life. When you and I venture down that avenue of suffering and pain, it can reveal exactly what we have in our hearts, what we are inside. I look at Job, and I see that during those times of suffering and intense pain, where he had lost everything, all of his children, all of his many herds, his farm, everything. Life was squeezing him. And what came out of him was what God had put into him. He says, I will prove that what appears on the outside is not all show. He said, though God slay me, yet will I praise him. We all come to that moment when life is squeezing us. If all that comes out of us is sour stuff, if all that comes out of us is anger, then we're not going to rise very high. But if we have God down inside of us, and we're full of His Holy Spirit. When life starts to squeeze, then the Holy Spirit and God is what rolls out. I don't know where you are this morning or what you're facing. Could be something that's beyond your normal capabilities. But God is well able. He will see you through it. He will not leave you. He will not turn His back on you. It may be years from now before you see the fullness of what God is going to do from moments of difficulty. But He will always walk with you. Don't get angry. Don't turn and walk away from God. I've seen so many when life didn't go just the way they wanted it, that they walked away. There's nothing to be gained there. In your time of trouble, run to God, not from Him. Get close to Him, not away from Him. Suffering will explode your heart like nothing else in all of life. So when things get hard, let your real heart show what God really wants to do inside of you. Bow your heads with me, would you please?